put on the full armor of God, so that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil.
Welcome to Rock Power. Rock Power is the radio ministry of Rock Power Church. We are located just west of Fluor Drive on the corner of Southwest 30th and Park Avenue. This ministry is dedicated to the proposition that the Bible is God speaking to you, that God never changes, that the Holy Spirit never changes, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, that there is only one church and one church age, and that greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. And as He, Jesus, is, so are we in the world. And the world is in desperate need to see the church in manifestation in the earth. Not in the power of politics or in the power of words, but in the power of His Spirit, moved and motivated and controlled by love. Because the world is in desperate need to see the manifestation of the sons of God. This week we're going to be looking at two topics. Going to begin looking at the topic of unbelief. You know, the Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please Him. But now we want to look at the other side of faith, which is unbelief. And then we're going to look at the fear of the Lord. Well, let's open our Bibles to Numbers, the 13th chapter. Numbers, chapter 13. Seeking the Lord about what direction to go. We talked, you know, for many weeks about healing. And I had really two different topics or words, directions to go this beginning year, and so we're going to talk today about one of those and next week the other one. Today we're going to talk about unbelief, and next week we want to talk about the fear of the Lord. And I think those are two very important subjects. Chapter 13 and 14 is a tragedy in the making. You know, God brought these people out of Egypt. Every one of them had been born in slavery. And all of them, with the exception probably of Moses, had lived in slavery. And they'd been down there 430 years. And God brought them out. And you would just think that would be a time of great rejoicing. And God made them great and precious promises of where they were going. And they blew it. They started out with a bang, and they ended up with a whimper. And, you know, as I have read this, it just made me think of the titles of two movies. And I've never seen either one of these movies. Never even really knew what they were until I looked them up on the internet. You know, you've got that now. It tells you about anything you want to know. The two movies came to my thought. Well, one was Requiem for a Heavyweight, and the other, Anatomy of a Murder. You see, doubt is a heavyweight. And unbelief begins with doubt, and doubt's a murderer. So we're going to talk about Requiem for a Heavyweight and the Anatomy of a Murderer. I happened to look those two movies up on the internet to see what they actually were. They look like pretty good movies. The Requiem for a Heavyweight, just for your information, was in 1962. And it starred Anthony Quinn, Mickey Rooney, Jackie Gleason, Joe Louis, and Cassius Clay. Some of you don't know who Cassius Clay is, and the Bible says, let the ignorant be ignorant still. Cassius Clay, Muhammad Ali was formerly known as Cassius Clay. And the other one, Anatomy of a Murder, was 1959 with Jimmy Stewart, won 7 Academy Awards in 1959. And really both themes fit in here, because the one, Requiem for a Heavyweight, is Anthony Quinn as a heavyweight fighter who's gone downhill and he has to fight Cassius Clay. And he ends up being a phony wrestler. You know, he goes from being a heavyweight contender, ends up being a wrestler to pay off the debts. And Jimmy Stewart is on trial for murder, and his defense is temporary insanity. And really, both of those things have fit in with this. So let's just start here in Numbers chapter 13, verse 1. It says, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. I am giving." Those are good words. In the past, he said, which I have given. But now it's to the point of now. You know, giving is now. So send spies, one
from each tribe of their fathers. You shall send a man, every one a leader among them. So Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran according to the command of the Lord, and all the men who were heads of the children of Israel. And of course, we know the two well-known ones are Caleb and Joshua. Caleb from the tribe of Judah and Joshua from the tribe of Ephraim. And then let's pick it up down here again in verse 17. We won't try to read all their names. Verse 17 says, "Then Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan." This is the land that God's given them. Can you imagine if somebody just gave you a country? You'd think you'd be pretty excited, wouldn't you? You might expect a few difficulties. But God gave them a country. "Then Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, 'Go this way into the south and go up to the mountains and see what the land is like, whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, few or many, whether the land they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities they inhabit are like camps or strongholds, whether the land is rich or poor, and whether there are forests there or not. Be of good courage and bring some of the fruit of the land.' Now the time was the season of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and spied out the land, from the wilderness of Zin as far as Rohob, near the entrance of Hamath. And they went up through the south and came to Hebron, some other places. And it says the descendants of Anak were there. Verse 23, "Then they came to the valley of Eshcol, and there they cut down a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they carried it between two of them on a pole. They also brought some of the pomegranates and figs. The place was called the Valley of Eshcol because of the cluster," that means cluster in Hebrew, "which the men of Israel cut down there. And they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. And they brought back word to them and to all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land." As I said, just picture yourself having come out of Egypt, having crossed the desert. God has defeated the greatest army in the world, the army of Pharaoh. You know, they were all drowned in the Red Sea. Brought them across the desert, given them this land. You would think that it would take quite a lot for them to turn back, wouldn't you? But it didn't. Verse 27, we're going to start there with our anatomy of unbelief. "Then they told them and said, 'We went to the land where you sent us.'" Notice, not "we went to the land God has given us." That's pretty important. See, they've left God out already. "We went to the land where you sent us, Moses." See, it's all on Moses now. God's not even in it. They've brought it from the supernatural, from the provision of God, down to the natural. See, it's like when I preach a sermon and said, "Well, you said." No, I didn't say it. God said. They said, "We went to the land where you sent us, Moses. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, but did you know?" See, they acknowledged what God said. God said it flows with milk and honey, but they don't acknowledge that God said it. They're not acknowledging the source of what was said. They're just acknowledging that what it says. See, it's easier if you just think about the Bible being words than think about the Bible being God's word. Amen? The Bible is God speaking to you right now, today. The Word of God is alive. It's never died. The Word of God is as alive today as it was when Moses spoke it to the children of Israel. It's alive. It's God's Word. It's still God's Word. So unbelief acknowledges what God said but won't accept it as fact or truth or God being the final authority. God said, "I have given it to you." Now He's saying, "I am giving it to you. Now is the day of salvation," so to speak. See, there comes a point in time where every promise has to go from here into action. Right? You have to receive it. Faith without works is what? Dead. They're not going to receive the land that God gave them until they cross that river. And the only thing they need to worry about is crossing that river. But they're already way out in front. So unbelief acknowledges what God said but won't accept it as the final authority. You don't ever say to the Word of God, but. Because you're saying to God, but. God said, I'm giving you this land. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. And they said, but. God, don't you know? Can you imagine imagining that God doesn't know? Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong.
Do you know what that means? That means God's not able. That means God can only bring small victories. That means if it's something little, if it's something minor, but see, these people are bigger than God. Is your sickness bigger than God? Is your need in your life bigger than God? Is your need to change bigger than God? No, don't add but. God is God.
The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. That's the giants. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan. But they refuse to acknowledge God. Verse 30. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let's go up at once and take possession of it. We are well able to overcome it. No word of God is what? Void of power. You know, some of the other translations, when it says, nevertheless said, did you know this? Did you consider this? One translation says.
God, did you consider what the doctor said? God, did you consider what the latest research is? God, did you consider all the possibilities? God knows the beginning from the end, and no word of God is void of power.
However, the people, yet the people, see, they're beginning to doubt. Caleb didn't discuss the problems. He said, we're well able. If you begin to discuss the height of the problems, you will be defeated.
If this message has helped you, awakened you, alarmed you, or blessed you, and you want to share that with us, you can email us at rockpchurch@aol.com or write to us at Rock Power Church, 3119 Southwest 30th Street, Des Moines, Iowa, 50321, or come see us Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Wednesday evening at 6:30 p.m., or Friday evening at 6:30 p.m.